So, the reason we think that what we're doing is useful is that we believe most early teachers are not adequately prepared to teach early mathematics. Now, what do we base this on? Well, partly all the things that we've been talking about here today that were discoveries for us when we turned our lens onto what is early math and what should it be. But also there is some more specific evidence. This is a study that was just completed in 2007. Basically, people went into classrooms and they had this list: language arts, mathematics, social studies, science, art, or music. And if they saw any of those kinds of activities going on in the classroom they visited that day, they checked it off, okay? And what they found was that mathematics activities on any given day in the Chicago public school system are only taking place in 21% of the early childhood classrooms. So on average, if you happen to go into a classroom, you have a 1 in 5 chance of seeing an activity that really is a mathematics activity. That's just not good. Yes.
Are they considered early childhood up to third grade?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I have to look. I think this was pre-K. Preschool Head Start.
Yeah, I think that would end if you wouldn't have that finding if you went higher. I don't think. Did you want to say anything else about whatever? And then there's the issue of teacher preparedness. Looking at the education that our teachers are getting. Now, we don't have really good local data, but there was a study done in New Jersey of the 4-year colleges that provide an education degree for teachers and certification, okay? So 80% of the programs that were looked at had at least, you know, a course focused on early literacy. Only 16% of the programs had a course that focused on early mathematics. 74%, the majority of the courses that were looked at, offered mathematics, but only as part of an integrated early childhood ed curriculum.
So we're going to talk about curriculum now, and yes, mathematics is a specific part of that. Okay, there were 10% of the programs that weren't providing any mathematics training at all, at least not that they identified as mathematics. Now we're going to make sure that you're prepared to teach math. So we're doing this thing.
Yeah.
We got some grants from the McCormick Foundation and the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Trust, two local foundations, and we were able to establish a really great working partnership with the Chicago Public Schools. We have a terrific partner there who's been really helpful at making things work, and that's been a big part of why we've had such a great time and felt good about what we're doing. Last year, the project served 80 Chicago Public School preschool and kindergarten teachers, and because many of those teachers teach two classrooms of about 20 children each, it's, you know, somewhere between, 1,800 and 3,400 children that get served by these teachers. So we're guessing it's 2,500 kids, you know, that hopefully we're reaching into their classroom. This year we're serving an additional 86 teachers, so they're coming in for our program. And we're doing some other things too, but we don't have time to tell you about all of that stuff probably. Are you supposed to be doing this?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. So the Early Mathematics Education Project really has two major components. And the first one is the workshop sessions. So because we work with Chicago Public Schools, the teachers have release days. They have days throughout the school year when the children are not in attendance and they can all come to us for a course. And so that's wonderful. This year we even have them all day. So we can really dig into early math with them. And it's wonderful to see them over the course of a whole year because they have time to learn and then go back to their classroom and practice, come back and learn, go back and practice. So we have, and I should point out, we have an alum from last year's project right here, Julie. So our workshops sessions are really meant to address the whole teacher. You know, often at Erickson we talk about the whole child. We think about the whole teacher. And that means that not only do we have to address her knowledge base, we have to address her practice so that her what's going on in her classroom is improved, and also her attitudes and her beliefs. And that's especially important in mathematics because many early childhood teachers are you know, will admit that they're math phobic. I wanted to teach little kids so I didn't have to teach math. Or I hated math growing up and I don't know how to teach it. And so we have to address that as well, because children know. Children pick up on that. And so we hope to boost their content knowledge, boost their confidence, and make them love math, because then we know the kids are going to love math too. The second part of our project, and it's really mutually reinforcing, is the on-site consultation. So we have a team of CPS early childhood coaches who come to our workshops and learn along with the teachers, and then they go out into the teachers' classrooms and observe them teaching a math lesson, the kids engaged in a math activity, and can sit down afterwards with the teacher and really reflect on how it went. And the coaching model that we use is really one that's meant to encourage teachers to set their own goals for learning and improvement in their classroom and reflect on that. We don't have our own agendas in the classroom. The teacher really needs to be the agent of her own change, and the coach is there to support that. We are not teaching a particular curriculum. CPS doesn't have a unified curriculum, and especially preschool teachers often don't have any commercial curriculum for mathematics. They use children's interests and sort of design their own activities. And so we felt like we could reach the widest audience if we didn't train around a specific curriculum. So rather, we use great children's books, because we know read aloud is happening at rug time in all these classrooms. And often literacy is a source of strength and confidence for teachers. So we thought we'd start there and build. And there are so many wonderful books that really just launch into the math talk, that launch math explorations, and that's kind of our entree into the classroom, is if they can at least pick up a book and pull out the math and get kids engaged in that way, then we know there's more math going on. The other piece of our curriculum is something that we've developed at Erickson called the Big Ideas. And often I feel that teachers get overwhelmed. Math can seem like a laundry list of skills to teach, and often activities end up being very scattershot. One day you do this, one day you do this, you just kind of do a smattering of everything, and that doesn't necessarily help children build a deeper understanding of math concepts. It doesn't help them formalize and systematize like we've been talking about. And so we've created these big ideas in each content strands. What are the key understandings that young children need to have? And these really are foundational. So for instance, let's take algebra, since we talked about that. You know, a big idea in algebra is that patterns follow a rule. Seems simple, but it's also profound. And kids can really dig into that. And if teachers have that in mind, whatever pattern activity they come to, they can really engage kids with that idea and talking about it so that they start to build a deeper understanding of pattern over many experiences. And so that's something that we give to teachers, and we hope will help them use whatever curricular materials they have to really lay a strong foundation.
Well, and if you think back to pedagogical content knowledge, and the idea that in order to teach something, your knowledge about it has to be very rich and very connected and very, if you're going to connect it with instructional techniques, you have to be able to handle anything. And kids will say anything. They're going to make the most interesting mistakes, and they're going to give the most bizarre kinds of ideas. And as a teacher, if you're feeling nervous about your math, you might not be able to make the most of that educational moment. But if instead, as we hope, you have a rich, connected, profound and broad understanding of early mathematics and what the central ideas are, it becomes an organizational system in your head for thinking about how to respond to all of these things that happen when you're working with a room full of four-year-olds. So again, I think the big ideas helps explain why we're not focused on a curriculum, but instead we're really trying to get at that knowledge for teaching. So Janine mentioned that we really try to focus on the whole teacher, and we want mathematics to be fun. And so we try to engage the teachers in experiences that help them see how mathematics is fun and experiences that are similar to the experiences that they're going to be providing for children. So we almost always do something with manipulatives. And one of the things that's interesting is that many times a teacher will say, hey, I have these and I've never used them before, or I've just been putting them out, but I didn't realize that they're really good for this kind of activity, you know, and I haven't been structuring that at all. And so just exploring the materials in the context of how do I teach particular ideas is very powerful. And I think it's something that more early childhood programs probably ought to be doing. So our sessions are very interactive. They're very hands-on. We also try to make sure that the grown-ups aren't bored. We don't just do exactly the kind of activity that they ought to do with kids. We tend to pose them a more sophisticated kind of question or problem to engage them as adult learners. And that keeps them interested and, again, pushes them to think in new ways about the mathematics that we're all exploring together. We try to give them lots and lots of opportunities to work together. One of the weird things about being a teacher is that it's very isolating. You know, and that tends to be something that sometimes teachers kind of like. They kind of like having their own little kingdom, their own little fief, and this is, I run it, and this is how it works. But I think most teachers also experience it as isolating sooner or later. So this is a great opportunity for teachers to talk with one another, to get feedback from peers, to exchange ideas. We also made a point of including not just pre-K but kindergarten teachers, and we tried to include them from the same school. Most of these teachers never get any kind of structured opportunity to talk to their the other grade level partners. And that does a lot of damage to the possibilities for some kind of continuity. If I don't know what you're teaching the year before, I don't know what to build on, and vice versa. So we hope that that's something that helps them as well.
We make them talk a lot. Lots of math talk.
We make them talk. Yes, we do. Nobody gets to leave without saying anything. So finally, before we wrap up, we just kind of wanted to put this in perspective. On the one hand, you know, we believe, as most early childhood people do believe, that what's learned during these early years provides a basis. It provides a foundation, and if it's weak, then you're trying to build on a weak foundation as you go up through elementary school and high school and eventually get to college. And that, therefore, what we do now matters a great deal because it sets sort of a baseline, okay? We firmly believe that that's true. We also recognize that mathematics is only one piece of the pie. There are many other subjects that are extremely important for children to encounter and engage. We're not so brainwashed by our own passion that we can't see that, and we want to make sure that we don't forget to mention it today.